Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. The phrase Berit Hadashah is Hebrew for New Covenant, and it harkens back to what God promised Israel in Genesis 31:31. There he says, "Behold, I will make a new covenant, in Hebrew, that's Berit Hadashah, with the house of Israel." The church, which has largely been Gentile in population for the last 1,800 years, largely forgets that the New Testament, or the New Covenant, is first for the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. And those in Israel who did not believe Jesus was the Messiah, and the one who came to bring the new covenant, according to Malachi 3, 1 and 2. By their unbelief, they were broken off. And Paul, using the analogy of the olive tree, says that we Gentiles have been grafted in where they have been removed. We have been fused, joined with the commonwealth of Israel in being offered salvation in the new covenant is ratified by the atoning death of Jesus the Messiah. And this ministry seeks to take the gospel message about Berit Hadashah, about the new covenant, back to the Jews in Israel. We go three times a year in obedience to the divine order of evangelism given in Romans 1:16 that says the gospel is to go to the Jew first. The gospel is to go to the Jew first. And we also, undergirding that, seek to edify the kinesia, the church, the body of Messiah Jesus, with the sound teaching from the Word of God, seeking to proclaim the whole counsel of God, which brings us to our ongoing series called The Great Doctrines of the Bible. Really, you might want to rephrase that and just say this is a course in systematic theology or biblical theology, covering the major topics under which the doctrines of the Bible have been revealed, explained, and found in Scripture. And we currently are dealing with the great adversary of God and man who exists. He was once an angel in heaven, the highest ranking angel whom God gave authority over all the other angels. That would be Satan, Lucifer, the devil. And we've been looking at the MO on him that God gives us. God reveals to us this pernicious, supernatural, fallen, angelic enemy so that we may know how to resist, overcome, and fight him. But let me hasten to add, you and I cannot overcome Satan through our own power and impotent attempts at moral resolve. No, we must utilize what God has given us through Jesus Christ after spiritual rebirth in him occurs. We are born above, born again through faith in the atoning and risen Savior. He comes and lives inside us as a result of our opening ourselves to him through the belief in God, the gospel. And he fills us with the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, who then enables and equips us to resist this adversary, the devil, who seeks to subvert and neutralize God's plan for man. And though he can't destroy God, because then, if that were the case, God would no longer be God, he seeks to vent his destructive forces upon man. And a major arm of that destructive force that Satan uses are the demon spirits that are under his command. The demon spirits were once angels in heaven. When Satan led a revolt there in the third heaven against the throne of God, he convinced one-third of the angelic host to side with him. Well, as we know from the Word of God, Satan was defeated, and those angels who rebelled with him were also defeated, and they became demons or demon spirits. And that is what we have been looking at in our discussion and teachings on Satan and demonology. We've already looked at the MO of Satan, and now we are in the middle of looking at the demonic spirits, who they are, what they are, and what they do, their activity, their nature we're going to talk about. Demons are symbolized throughout Scripture. They are called, Satan and his demonic forces are called fowls of the air, Matthew 13:4-19. Remember the parable of the sower and the seed. The birds of the air come and steal the seed away. Translation, and Jesus interprets that parable in the same chapter. When the Word of God, when the gospel of the kingdom is sown in men's hearts, some receive it, others don't at all, because Satan comes and removes its lasting and saving influence. So demons and Satan, their primary mission, we learn from our Lord through the parable of the sower and the seed, demons and Satan and demons' primary mission is to subvert, counteract, and neutralize the work of God's Word through gospel preaching, symbolically depicted by our Lord in Matthew 13 as the sowing of the seed. Remember, when you're preaching the gospel to somebody who is not saved, you can bank on that Satan and his demonic forces are around to dissuade, discourage, and if possible, neutralize what the Holy Spirit is trying to do to get this sinner to hear the gospel, believe the gospel, and be saved. So just note that whenever you go and evangelize here or abroad, when you witness, the enemy will be there to try to curtail the effectiveness of people hearing the gospel message, symbolically portrayed as the fowls of the air trying to steal the seed away from the ground in Matthew 13. It's always good to pray beforehand that the Lord will subdue and rebuke Satan so that your evangelistic efforts can go forth without successful resistance by the enemy of our souls. In Revelation 16:13-14, demons are portrayed as unclean frogs. Unclean frogs. An interesting analogy from the world of amphibians. Demons are likened to unclean frogs. Their shape was given in this way. Let's look at that. Revelation 16. This is when the Euphrates, under the sixth bowl judgment of the future tribulation, will be dried up. And then once this occurs, the drying up of the Euphrates will allow the Oriental armies, primarily from China, to march on the Middle East, specifically to the land of Israel. And the Euphrates River will not be in their way because it will have been dried up. And what happens after that? Well, verse 13 of Revelation 16, and I saw three unclean spirits, these are demons, like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon. That would be Satan. So they're sent forth by Satan. Remember when we gave the biblical MO on Satan, he is depicted as a fierce dragon. Well, these spirits with the form of unclean frogs are being sent by Satan. They are his mouthpiece because they're coming out of the mouth of the dragon. And not only are they his mouthpiece, but they are the Antichrist's mouthpiece. It goes on, these unclean spirits like frogs, the three of them, not only come out of the mouth of the dragon, but out of the mouth of the beast and the false prophet. Frogs depict the vileness of the situation. They were unclean under the law of Moses, the frog was. These demons are loathsome beings, and they will inhabit and speak on behalf of the unholy Trinity, Satan, the Antichrist, and his false prophet. Moving on, in Revelation 9, the chief demon from the bottomless pit will have demonic hordes under him, and they are described with a symbol of locusts, Revelation 9, 1 through 10. And they will go and seek to torment men. These demons also have a hideous appearance. John describes them with lion's head and serpent's tails, by which they will torment unsaved mankind during the tribulation period, Revelation 9, 1 through 19. Neo-Babylon, or Mystery Babylon, is a place where demons abide, like unclean birds in a cage, Revelation 18, 1 through 3. Then we have Jesus calling the enemy and his demonic agents. He likens them to serpents and vipers. Luke, let me go to that passage where Jesus says, "Behold, I give you power over all the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Luke 10:19. "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy." So they're likened to serpents, scorpions, and vipers. Matthew 24, Jesus called the Pharisees a demonic den of vipers. What does this mean? Well, demons are subtle. They are sly. They are dangerously deadly, venomous like a poisonous snake. You don't want to mess with demons on your own. You don't go seeking for demons. The demons, when they manifest you as a believer in Christ, who have His power and authority, can cast them out. Later on, we'll talk about the believer's authority over Satan and his demonic forces. It is a delegated authority. There are many kinds of demonic spirits under the control of Satan. And the Bible, like it does with Satan, gives a variety of names to these demon spirits to describe their insidious and evil work. Keep in mind, demons like Satan are not redeemable. Demons like Satan are not redeemable. The Bible really doesn't give us an explicit reason why these fallen angels under the leadership of Satan cannot be redeemed. The fact is, they cannot be redeemed. Nowhere in Scripture do we find the salvation and repentance of Satan and the fallen angels called demons in the Bible with him. Nowhere do we find any of them repenting and receiving salvation. They were tested before man and creation, and based upon how they reacted to God, they would either be confirmed in holiness or disconfirmed, permanently disconfirmed in their rebellion. And so Satan and his demonic forces, once they chose the folly of rebellion against the Most High, they have been indelibly confirmed in that rebellion so that they cannot be redeemed or recovered from their sinful condition. It is different with mankind. Mankind can be redeemed from sin. Well, as I said, the Bible gives a variety of names to demons. Let's look at their names. And again, their names denote their collective and habitual activity, their nature, if you will. First of all, demons are called devils. We've mentioned this before. Demons are called devils. Evil spirits are servants of the devil. This goes back to the Torah. The Torah, Leviticus 17 and Deuteronomy 32:17. We'll look at that latter verse. Deuteronomy 32:17. Talking about the apostasy of Israel in the wilderness, I believe. And it says, Probably this was referring to when they worshiped the golden calf in the wilderness and committed sexual immorality, debauchery, and so forth. God says of them, of this wicked generation in the wilderness, in Deuteronomy 32:17, they sacrificed to demons, not to God. To gods they did not know, to new gods, new arrivals, that your fathers did not fear. So here the word demons is used. Again, this is affirmed or reaffirmed in Psalm 106:37. But the term here, demons, in Deuteronomy 32:17, is descriptive of those fallen angels who fell with Satan. And they are the collaborative force, the collective armies of Satan who seek to fight against God. Note here that the demon spirits work to make men worship idols. And through the worship of those idols, one is worshiping demons. Demons. Mark 1:34 also mentions demons. Mark 16:17. Demons are also called evil spirits because their mission is one of evil intent. Their mission is one of evil intent. Satan is called the evil one, and his demonic armies under him also seek to carry out the evil agenda of Satan. And so they are called evil spirits in Scripture. Judges 9:23, 1 Samuel 16:14-23, Luke 7:21, Acts 19:12-13, and so forth. Scripture also calls demons unclean spirits. This title is used some 21 times in Scripture to describe the impure nature of demons. Anything that strikes against or goes opposite divine holiness is a work of the devil and his demonic forces. The Christian in the West is constantly assaulted with the work of unclean spirits through the licentious obsession of our society with fornication, adultery, and homosexuality. It's seen and broadcasted everywhere on the internet, on the television, and on the signage that greets us on the roads, driving down them. These are all the works of unclean spirits, demons, to defile the soul and to attempt to besmirch the holiness of God. Demons are also caught in the gospel accounts, dumb spirits, Luke 11:14, Mark 9:17, Matthew 9:32-34, dumb spirits. And here they were physically afflicting people so that they were unable to speak. They were mute. They were mute, dumb spirits. Again, this is the work of the demons under the command of Satan. And we find them mentioned throughout the gospel accounts where Jesus confronted people who were afflicted with these dumb spirits. He took authority over them, cast them out, and the people were able to speak again. And note, when the Son of God confronted these dumb spirits, the people were released from their impaired condition and were healed. These demon spirits are also called blind and deaf spirits because they have the power to cause blindness and deafness. And Jesus also released the people from the demonic affliction of these physical ailments. Matthew 12:22, Mark 9:25. Demon spirits are also called lying spirits. 1 Kings 22:22-23, and 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 12. 2 Thessalonians 9 through 12. Let's look at that verse. And again, this has to do with the coming of the Antichrist and how the demonic spirits will be used to deceive people into believing the lie. Paul says here, he talks about the coming of the lawless one according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. A lot of stuff going on here. Demon spirits will, God will allow them to delude and deceive people because they rejected who God is. They've rejected the rule of His Word and Son in their lives, and this in turn will lead them to accept the lie as a truth. They will believe opposite to what is true as God has revealed and defined that truth. Demon spirits are also called the spirit of infirmity, Luke 13:11. We also see demon spirits involved in the occult phenomena. And we're going to get into that in a little bit, all the different occult practices. They're all created and advanced by Satan and his demonic forces. We have the spirit of divination. The spirit of divination, Acts 16:16, and also Acts 8:9. The spirit of divination or fortune telling. And today we see this in the popularity of psychics. The psychic hotline that you see on television. Call this number to have your future foretold, your life read by a psychic. That, my friend, is the work of devils. It is counterfeit to the spirit of prophecy. A true prophet, when he speaks, will not center his predictions around anything else but the Lord Jesus Christ, and will speak according to the Word of God. Anyone purporting to predict the future, like a Nostradamus or a Gene Dixon, and they mentioned, and their prophecies do not glorify the God of Israel and His Son Jesus Christ, and do not point sinners to the cross, that, my friend, is a spirit of the spirit of Satan, and that is the work of demonic spirits, and it's counterfeit to biblical prophecy, the spirit of divination, seeking to divine or foretell the future without coming to the God of the Bible on His terms, which is, in this age, repentance and faith in the crucified and risen Savior. Demon spirits are also labeled as seducing spirits. 1 Timothy 4:1. Know this, that in the last days, seducing spirits will come. They seduce men and women to believe what is false, what is a lie that opposes biblical truth. And they will even use the Bible to contradict the Bible. Case in point, the gay Christian movement. Christian in quotation marks to denote the fact that you cannot be a gay Christian. That is an oxymoron. The Bible clearly says that if you engage in that lifestyle in a habitual manner, you will not inherit the kingdom of God, thus demonstrating that you have not received the new birth with a new nature that delivers one and transforms one from that unclean lifestyle. The whole idea that homosexuality is approved by God and even sanctioned in His Word is an out-and-out lie. It is a doctrine of demons. Also, a major doctrine of demons by which people are seduced is the lie that Jesus is not God. Unfortunately, this seducing spirit teaching this doctrine of devils is prevalent throughout the world's religions, save one, Christianity. All the other major world religions deny the deity of Jesus because they have succumbed and have been seduced by a doctrine of devils that has led them to believe that Jesus is not God Almighty in the flesh, when the Scriptures clearly affirm the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are just a few examples of what seducing and lying spirits, demon spirits, seek to do. They propagate, they create, they formulate doctrines of devils, as 1 Timothy 4:1 tells us. Demons also can create other negative phenomenon, like epilepsy and a suicidal mindset. Now, this is a general truth. I'm not saying everybody who has epilepsy is demon-possessed. I'm merely saying that this is one of the manifestations of a demonic spirit. So, if someone has epilepsy, if it is just a lack of a physiological deficiency, then that can be modified and treated with medicine. But if it's an inexplicable phenomenon that one gained through an open door to the occult through which demons can operate, then it is another matter altogether. We have the Antichrist spirits. 1 John 4:3 tells us that the spirit of Antichrist, many Antichrists, have gone out into the world. The demons have an Antichrist agenda. So anyone coming along and promoting and promulgating a philosophy, a religion that goes against the character and word of the Lord Jesus Christ is of the Antichrist, and therefore is coming from Satan himself. Many, and there are Antichrist spirits the world over in this present age, deceiving and blinding men's minds and hearts. There are so many, we could spend years on that subject alone, seemingly innumerable manifestations of the spirit of Antichrist. Suffice it to say, you know you are dealing with an Antichrist who denies that Jesus has come in the flesh as the God-man, who denies any historic essential of the Christian faith which affects who Jesus is and what he has done as both God and man for the salvation of sinners. Well, how do we know the details of that? The Word of God. Anything that comes and contradicts the Word of God and the divine authority of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is of the Antichrist. And I hate to add that our government, much of our federal government, has been pervaded with the spirit of Antichrist as they legalize, endorse, and defend practices and policies that go against the Lord Jesus Christ as revealed in the Word of God. They are of the Antichrist. Well, we'll close for now. Let us hear from you. These broadcasts that are being brought to you now for almost 4 years, we do these at our expense. The ministry pays for them, and we need your support. If you like hearing the sound teaching of God's Word as we seek to proclaim the whole counsel of God, we need to hear from you, dear listeners. And you can contact us at the end of the broadcast. The announcer will tell you how to get in touch with us. We have a free bi-monthly newsletter about Jewish evangelism and the truths of God's Word. It's free. Write to us and we'll send it to you, provided you give us your address and name. Well, until next time, Shalom Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.